Hello and welcome to Keep Casual's first ever podcast, episode zero. I'm here, D-Shib. You might remember me from New Game Plus, more of a hardcore gaming website slash podcast. But as I said, we are Keep Casual, which we're kind of turning the other side and doing some more casual gaming. Basically, it's all casual gaming. You can check out our website at www.keepcasual.com. And I'm actually here with a couple of my buddies. Like I said, I'm D-Shib. And guys, why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell me what you guys are currently playing.
Hey, I'm Mike. I handle the Nintendo portion of the website. Basically anything Nintendo Wii, Nintendo WiiWare, Virtual Console, DSi, Nintendo DS. I'll take care of that. Currently, I'm playing not Mike Tyson's, the new Punch-Out for the Wii, which is a lot of fun. The animation is just phenomenal. It's all hand-drawn. So it looks like you're actually playing a cartoon.
I was here playing it with you, and I mean, honestly, the way that they did the graphics, I mean, and they redid the game, is just phenomenal. I mean, when Mike first told me about it, I was like, okay, you know, it's another Tyson game or another Punch-Out game or something like that. I'm like, it's not going to be that great. But honestly, it was just, I was really impressed with it. And the controls for the Wii, I have to give it to them. It was really, really good as far as controls and stuff.
And the game itself is hard. Well, I'm really good at Mike Tyson's Punch-Out because I know the character's moves, the boxer's moves. I know
how to take up with them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
This was a part of our childhood, you know?
Right, right. So I gotta learn a whole new move set. So that one's, I'm having a lot of fun. Also, I've been playing, started playing 1v100 on the Xbox Live.
Right. I was gonna get to that in a little
I'll
bit.
I'll get into that later.
But yeah, I mean, that's...
I'll give you my impressions of that.
Amazing.
Other than that, yeah, that's basically all the two games that I've been working on lately.
And, okay, I'm Kurt. You've heard me in the background. I'm basically taking care of the Xbox 360 system and Xbox Live Arcade. Basically anything Xbox, anything that Microsoft throws at us, I'm going to be covering and I'm going to be taking a look at it. Currently, I'm actually playing one of the Xbox Live Arcade games, Peggle.
Awesome.
Great game. You know, the graphics are great, you know, and everything like that. I mean, it's not something that you could sit there and be like, wow, these are really great graphics. But really, they are. I mean, for something as simple as just shooting a little ball and having it fall through some pegs.
So how exactly, what would you compare it to? How exactly would you say it works for those who have never played it?
For those who have never played it, if you take a look at the Chinese games, the pegboard games.
Pachinko?
Pachinko. I mean, it's kind of like a pachinko game, but the pegs are different colors, so you have to hit the colored pegs, get points, clear the board, and whatnot.
So like pachinko with a lot more hope.
Yeah, exactly. You could actually clear a level in, you know, whereas the Japanese ones, you know, they're kind of harder.
Well, I've also played it with you on Xbox Live.
Yes.
And it is a lot of fun.
Yes.
I think, if anything, it reminds me most of Plinko from Plinko. The Price is Right.
Right. Yes,
that's
yes.
Exactly how it plays.
Yeah,
pretty much. Shib, have you ever seen any videos on it or played it?
You know what, I haven't really. I've seen and heard that Live is going to be getting the new Price is Right game. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, there is a new Price is Right, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you know Plinko, right? You remember Plinko?
Yeah, I know Plinko from Price is Right.
That's a lot how this game plays.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it definitely is a lot of fun. It's got some really good physics.
And the multiplayer is great on it, too.
This is your department.
Yeah, I mean, the multiplayer is great on it. You know, I mean, it's a lot of fun. The playability is definitely over and over again. You can definitely play it, and, you know, it's going to take a while to get tired of the game.
That's interesting, because Microsoft's not been known for the multiplayer, or really, you know, non-confrontational multiplayer like the Wii is known for, which is, I think, giving the Wii a lot of legs. It's an interesting move for Microsoft to do.
Yeah. Sure. And to tell you the truth, I mean, like I said, they've been coming out with games on the Xbox Live Arcade that are now more geared towards multiplayer, whether it's co-op or whether it's
socially involving.
Right, exactly.
Very nice.
So that's
very
what nice. I'm playing.
Cool. Now we have another guy that's talking. Who is that?
Hey, this is Brooks. I'm kind of the resident technical type. I do professional level video in the real world, and So I'll be here handling technical questions and answers and such things as that.
He's also our
throwing peanut. In a little bit of wisecrack back and forth.
Yeah, he's also our peanut gallery.
Yeah, you'll have that.
He chimes in every once in a while, you know.
Yep. And as if you guys have listened to New Game Plus, you guys know that, like I said, I'm D-Shib, and I handle the Sony PS3, PS2, and PSP versions of the website, and I'm going to do that with Keep Casual. Right now, what I'm currently playing, because I don't know why I'm so addicted to it, is Call of Duty 4. I'm still addicted to the Team Deathmatch. I also picked up Infamous, which is just absolutely, absolutely incredible. Everything that Sony was talking about with this game on the electricity physics and the open worldness of it just feels absolutely incredible. They did a great job with it.
Cool.
Yeah, especially with it coming from Sucker Punch, who, I don't know if you guys remember, if you ever play Sly Cooper?
I haven't played it, but I know all about it. I know.
Yeah, I've heard about it, but I haven't physically had a controller in my hand to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, they did a really good job with it. And moving on to our first topic, as people may know, E3 was this past week, and very filled with excitement.
Awesome.
Lots and lots and lots of announcements. And obviously, Keep Casual is here because we're going to give you the information that you want to know about the casual games that happen at E3. Let's start out with Microsoft and the 360 with Kurt, because they go first almost every year that I can remember.
Right.
They usually go on Monday, which even before the conference even starts.
Right.
Yeah. So, Kurt, why don't you take it away? Why don't you let us know what happened during their conference?
Okay, yes, I'm here to talk about the Xbox 360. There actually was quite a bit that Microsoft came out with for the casual gamer, which I was really impressed because they're very much a hardcore gaming system. I mean, you take a look at all the games that they have, the majority of them, I should say, and they're all hardcore games. So I'm very impressed that Microsoft came out with some neat stuff for the casual gamer. One, being Project Natal. I mean, that was a huge, huge just, you know, excitement going on there. Basically, it's a code name for a controller-free gaming experience. Basically, what Microsoft did is they made a device that could recognize your movements, your speech, and whatnot, and make you able to control different things, like play soccer. You could write on a whiteboard, and it'll come up on your TV. And this is all through hand movements and stuff like that, and body movements and whatnot. I remember one section when they were doing the preview of it. You could actually walk, and your avatar will actually walk as you walk. So, I mean, it's really cool. I think it's a pretty ingenious thing. And they already have, I think they said they have 1,000 development kits already sent out for these developers. So, I mean,
that's good.
You know, 1,000 SDK kits, I mean, that's pretty impressive, you know.
There's interest on the development side for it, at least.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I mean, people want it. People are looking at it and saying, hey, I think this is going to be a cool way to be able to control our games.
Yeah, but Kurt, I got a question with that. What's going to stop it from, you know, if I get up and they showed that breakout game with the ball?
Right.
You know, to me, it looked like the girl was just having a seizure.
Well, I guess it depends on who's playing it. I mean,
well, what if they made a seizure game?
Right. I mean, hey, that would be perfect.
Then
they
look like they were playing Breakout.
Right. Exactly. You know, there's other games like soccer, like I said before, that are on there and stuff like that. I mean, of course, it's just in the baby stage. You know, it's not coming out till 2010. So, I mean, they've got to make the software for it. This is probably stuff that they just kind of wrote to get the product out there and get some people thinking and listening about it.
Besides, how long did it take for people to stop throwing the remote through the throwing the Wiimotes through the plasmas? TV.
Exactly.
Now they throw their fists through the TV instead.
Right.
Now here's the.
I do have to say though, it was kind of cool to see them watching a movie sitting on the couch, not having to get up, not having to find the remote, and just basically moving their hand down.
Right.
And you know the menus went and it said okay, play movie or turn off system.
Right.
Then I think it was really cool. But I would say the thing with that is, how precise is it? I mean,
from what it looks like, it looks like it's pretty precise. Now, of course, like, I mean, just like any beginning stage of any new type of interface, it's going to have a little bit of development in you know, in the future. The first ones that come out.
Besides everything from Microsoft, always is better with Service Pack 1.
Well, exactly. Or, I mean, take a look at the original PlayStation 3s. I mean, come on, they're being caught on fire.
Well, and the 360s were
well, 360. You got the Red Ring. I mean, even some of the original Wiis when they first came out, they just. You know, I mean, my original Wii, I still have the original one, and it's not a problem.
You got a launch unit.
I've got a launch one.
That
yeah,
we sat out.
Right, inside, we sat outside and waited.
Outside Toys R Us.
Very cold with lots of coffee, but yeah. I mean, there was it. You know, everybody has their problems when they first come out with something new. So I think that it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for not only Microsoft but the gamer too. I mean, yeah. They're going to have to get used to it. When I first got the Wii. But I had to get used to the controller.
It's a new paradigm shift and something, yeah. Mm-hmm. Welcome to progress. That's how it goes.
Right.
Here's what concerns me, and I think you would agree with me. Microsoft announced Project Natal. It looks amazing. It's a bar, cameras, right. Sits right. Under your TV. It reminds me a lot of that movie Minority Report, where you're managing the menus with your finger
right.
And stuff.
Right.
Here's what scared me.
Johnny Mnemonic.
What's that?
Johnny Mnemonic.
Johnny Mnemonic, yeah. Here's what scared me. They did not mention the price.
No, right. That's still yet to be determined.
Microsoft is still charging $90 for a wireless receiver.
Right, right.
I have a feeling because they didn't announce the price, it's gonna cost a pretty penny, which can turn off a lot of casual gamers.
Right.
Who does you know unless it's bundled with a whole bunch of games, I can't see them charging any less than 100 for it.
But the casual gamer tends to be a lot more focused on value than your hardcore gamer is.
Right.
What do you think, Shiv? Do you think is that a concern for you that they didn't talk about price?
I think it's a really big issue that they didn't talk about price. You know, it really didn't impress me. Sony's, besides the precision of it, really didn't impress me. Because when it comes to it, I really just like to be able to sit on my butt and play a game. I really don't want to have to get up because, you know, I'm working most of the time. And by the time I'm playing games, it's 9, 10 o'clock at night. The last thing I want to do is get up and exercise.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to that, on a casual side, I can see where it would be fun and make it a more family-friendly system. But I agree. I don't think that people are going to be – if this thing is more than $75, I really don't think – even with a game included, I really don't think it's going to sell too much.
No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, all their accessories have been kind of pricey. I mean
– it's a little ridiculous when a wireless thing's $100 when you can buy the rest of the world has wireless for $25.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
on,
yeah. And, I mean,
science.
You could buy a – you could probably buy a Linksys wireless USB – mm-hmm. And it might work. You never know.
Well, Linksys wireless bridges are what, like $40 right now. Man.
Well,
right.
It's the wireless router.
This is not new technology.
This is the receiver that plugs in.
That's what I'm saying. The bridges are. I mean, this is not new technology. This is not expensive technology. Yeah. Everybody and their mother has it.
So, yeah.
But you guys also have to look at it this way too. And I don't mean to be cutting over anybody. Have you noticed that Microsoft also makes their own specific connections for their accessories? Like if your power cord on the back breaks. That's a really weird cord to find. PS3, all you need to do is buy another PC cord.
Right, but that's the same thing you could say that about the Wii and every single Nintendo system that's ever been, well, not everyone, but everything from the original Nintendo on up has all been proprietary. But, you know, just to roll on, because we're not going to get into
everything we hate about games.
Yeah.
What we hate about each
we're not going to beat each other up on the first episode. Yeah. Essentially, what we're saying about Project Natal,
it's going to be expensive.
It's got to be. From what they're showing in the tech demo, looks good, but all that was is a tech demo. They need to be able to prove themselves.
Right, exactly. I mean, if they can prove themselves with games that come out that, you know, warrants maybe a $100 price tag or warrants a, you know, a little bit more expensive price tag, well, then fine. Then people are going to buy it because of the value in it and what it's going to be for.
Yeah.
But moving on. Joyride, that's another Xbox Live Arcade game that they came out with, and it's pretty cool because your avatars that you set up on the Xbox 360 jump into these cars, kind of ride them like skateboards. It's kind of cool. I've seen it. You just drive around with friends and stuff like that. It's a multiplayer game. You got jumps and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
It's like Mario Kart for the 360.
Right, exactly. It's like a spin-off of that, but it's something that's got playability in there because everybody loves Mario Kart as far as parties, man. I mean, yeah. You go to a party that has any kind of gaming system, it's Mario Kart, and people are just running around ragged.
I've actually seen people do parallel parties in two different areas and then have the Mario Kart going in both, but with like four players at each one.
Right, that's exactly.
Really crazy.
Oh yeah, it's insane.
But here's the thing: how much is that one going to cost?
I would say about nothing. I would say it's free. You know, Because it is free. Oh, I mean, okay. That's what they said.
You know? Oh, then it's definitely worth the price.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, yes, Microsoft does charge you for some stuff. Somebody's not reading his paper? I mean, yes, Microsoft does charge you for stuff. But there's a lot of stuff that is free.
Such as?
One versus 100. I mean, that was cool.
I squealed. I know. It's fun.
You just lost like 3 man points.
Then I mean, negative 3 man points.
You're negative 3 man points. I mean, the thing is that I downloaded One versus 100. I mean, I was really psyched about this, you know, to actually have a live game show that you could play on your Xbox 360 with other Xbox 360 users. This is something that's like, you've never heard it before, and I think this is going to be a new type of gaming.
Well, we tried.
We tried you getting and I, on, right.
Okay, well, yeah, we tried getting into this One versus 100. Essentially, right. I thought, because they didn't give a whole lot of details about it, what I thought One versus 100 was like a game that you download. And it's not. No. It's an actual event. So you need to be on your Xbox 360 at certain times, at certain days.
Right.
You need to be able to log on to their One versus 100 servers. They only have a set number of people. Now, the ones that we couldn't get into was an actual game.
Right.
Actual game meaning, if you ever seen how One versus 100 played, there's the contestants, and then there's 100 people in what they call the mob.
You're talking about national broadcast television.
Hosted by Bob Saget.
Right.
Yeah. So it's,
I'm just clarifying so all the listeners out there know where we're coming from.
Well, thank you. that's what you're here for. You are a spell check. You're a human spell check.
No.
Oh, you're a grammar check then. Yes. Okay. So
technical crew guy.
That's right. So there's 100 people in the mob and then the one contestant. And they ask the trivia question. And everybody in the mob guesses their answer from multiple choice. And whoever in the mob gets it wrong, they're immediately eliminated. And basically what it comes down to, each round the person gets more money until it's either the person who wins or whoever's left over in the mob.
Right.
So we tried, Kurt and I tried getting in. It was swamped.
Absolutely swamped.
So it's one versus the collective consciousness.
It was, yeah. It was one versus a million. So
it was, yeah.
They wouldn't
let
anybody in. So.
Well, plus on top of that, you do have to take in consideration that we tried getting in on launch. I mean, everybody, since they've been advertising it on E3 and everything else, everybody's going to try their hardest to get in at launch. So, I mean, I had a really tough time. Couldn't get in.
Are they planning on expanding this to multiple rooms? Or
well,
what's the progression concept?
That's what I'm getting to. So that one was the actual game. It has actual live hosts and everything. But last night, they have what they call extended play. And what it is they open it up to a lot more people. And what you do is everybody's in the mob. And they just ask the trivia questions. It's you, and they pitch you against. They put just 4 people on the screen with you. And you just kind of go back and forth so you can have the highest score. But the more questions you answer right, the longer streak you have, the higher your score, and it saves your score. So every time you play on one of their extended nights, you keep adding to your score. The higher your score, the better chance you get of being in an actual game when they have it.
Right.
And another thing that's amazing about this, they give away actual prizes.
Yes.
Over the downloadable games, you could. I think they've given away digital cameras, things like that. So,
miscellaneous Microsoft wear and stuff like that. Yeah.
So how long is that going to last?
Hey, we get you a hat.
What's that, Chip?
How long is that going to last, though, where they're giving away those types of prizes?
Well,
that costs a lot of money.
Well, they don't do it every night. They don't do that every night. They have special events that they give away prizes at.
Right, and you might have a special event once a month. But the game, as Mike was saying, how it worked, the extended play, they'll have that more often where that's just the point system.
Yeah, there were no prizes then. But it was a lot of fun, and the thing that I like about it being live is you're never going to get question repeats. Because face it, you get a game like Jeopardy or something like that for your video game system, you're going to get the same question eventually.
Sure.
So this one was a lot of fun. So you know, I was they had some really good questions. This one was all video game trivia, and they had let me shoot off some of these questions. What was one of the questions? What video game was John Connor playing in the arcade in Terminator 2?
Oh, man.
That was one of the questions. I got it right because I'm a genius.
I don't even know.
Here are the options because you get 3 options.
Right, all right.
Donkey Kong, Pac-Man, or Missile Command?
I want to say, I would probably say Missile Command.
What'd you say, Shib?
It was Missile Command.
It was Missile Command, yes.
Okay.
So,
I would have gotten that right, and that's a guess. I didn't even know.
Yeah. There was.
How did you not know that? That's Terminator, man.
I know. Hey, look. You know, I saw the movie like 3 times only, as opposed to like 500. Okay.
I don't honestly think I could drive when I saw the movie the last time.
So it was. So yeah, there were a lot of really good questions. A lot of more video game related. And you know, there's a question about Encino Man, a video game that they were playing during Encino. Cool. So it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed myself. Not in that way. I really had a lot of fun.
Right.
But I could see how it's great if you got a lot of people in the room.
So do you think Microsoft's going to come out with another type of game show game like this? Do you think that they hit the jackpot here on something like being revolutionary? Well, we lost Shibby. Unfortunately, we were trying to use Skype, and, well, we had some technical difficulties. But as I was saying before, how is the playability in 1 versus 100? And do you think that this is something that Microsoft hit the gold mine on, that they're going to sit there and have more of these game show-type games out there?
When I was playing yesterday, there were 86,000 people at one time in my specific game.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a huge amount of people trying to play one game. Yeah.
86,000 people. So every time you answered a question, it would tell you how many of those 86,000 got it wrong, how many got it right.
Kind of like, do you want to be a millionaire with the bar graph? Like, for when they ask the audience, you know, when your lifeline. I mean, it tells you how many people got what question.
So judging by that, just that they're able to get 86,000 people in one night, I think I think this will be great. It just depends on the... It depends on the game show.
Right.
1 versus 100 is a great great game to use because you've got 100 people.
Right.
You know, and...
Yeah, so 100, 100,000, math works.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, like, you know, maybe like a game like Jeopardy where it's only 3 contestants at one time.
Might not be as good, but I mean, they have a good concept here, and they have something that will hopefully, you know, span off to something bigger. Yeah. Also, another exciting thing that Xbox is coming out with that I know that there is a lot of people excited about it, and there's a lot of talk about it, is the new Facebook, Last.fm, and Twitter stuff that's going to be coming out. You know,
integration with those platforms.
Yeah, you're going to be able to, like the Tiger Woods 2009. You can play 2009.
This is a great idea.
Yeah, and
should have been in games a long time ago.
And say that you have like a great shot. Okay. You could sit there and post it on Facebook saying... A picture of the shot itself on Facebook saying, hey, look what I did, basically.
So you take a picture of yourself.
That means I'm going to need a whole another battery for my cell phone.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But it is cool. I mean, and people are psyched about it, you know. Hey, because I mean, that's the new digital age. Everybody is trying to tell everybody else what they're doing at that moment in time. So this is something that Microsoft, but this is something that Microsoft jumped on that bandwagon. They're like, hey, you know, this is something that's kind of going. Yeah.
Well, they're also rolling out that Windows Live for the computer world anyway. Not really video game world, but that's trying to compete with Facebook. It'll be interesting to see how they juggle both competing and involving.
Yeah,
it'll be an interesting thing coming up.
Right, and the thing is with Microsoft, here's one thing that I can't stand, is that their Hotmail stuff. I mean, Hotmail and Windows Messenger Live and all that stuff is embedded. I mean, we're getting onto OS systems, but that's one thing that annoys me about it. The good thing is that they're going away from their Microsoft Live, and they said, hey, you know what? We're going to suck it up, and we're going to go to Facebook, and we're going to go to Twitter. And the Last.fm thing, you could actually listen to streaming music right on your Xbox, and you could create a playlist. And you could share with your friends, and everything that Last.fm does, you'll be able to do on your Xbox, which that's awesome. Think is phenomenal. Because with the Digital Rights Act and everything else, where you have to pay for 99 cents for MP3 and this and that and this and that, hey, it's great. If you want to listen to some music and you don't want
want to throw something on because it'd be nice to have some music in the house.
Can. And just right off your Xbox. So, I mean, really cool stuff coming out for the Xbox. I was really excited about their press conference release. And Mike, if you want to talk about what Nintendo's coming out with, you know?
Yeah, let me say this. The only thing about Facebook that I don't like is that it's going to have to make me buy a chat pad for the 360.
Right, exactly. But, hey, he's used my chat pad. And what do you think about it?
Yeah, it's better. It's better than moving the joystick to pick your letters and you can just go...
Right, exactly. And mine came bundled with a headset, which I broke my headset. So I said, well, I might as well get 2 accessories instead of just a stupid headset.
And my kid ate my headset.
Yeah, well, he ate the foam off your headset.
Yeah, I still haven't.
Did you still find
it? I'm not looking that hard.
You know, there's a first grade teacher just rolling on that one.
Okay, so we're moving on to the Nintendo conference. As we all know, Nintendo is embracing the casual gamer with open arms. That's what makes the Wii so successful, is that it's it's brought in so many people that never.
And since day one, Nintendo has always done that. I have to give it to Nintendo. Since day one, with the original NES, and actually prior to that in Japan when they had the Famicom, I mean, it was a family system, and it was a casual gaming system. And I mean, it's great that they still keep up with that.
So they announced a game I'm personally excited about, because as you'll find out after listening to the podcast, I love 2D games.
Right.
3D games, fun and everything. Nothing to me is better than going back to the old roots of video games, moving from left to right and jumping on stuff.
Exactly.
So Nintendo was listening to me when I was begging them for a new 2D Mario game, and they announced new Super Mario Bros. Wii, which is a side-scrolling Super Mario game.
Right.
Just like Mario 1, Mario 2, Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo. Thing that sets this one aside is they are including 4-player multiplayer.
So yes, you could cool.
Yes, something that should have been in a Mario game a long time ago. Mario, Luigi, and two of those little toad guys, 4 people can play at the same time. You compete to see who can get the most coins in each level. You could pick each other up and throw each other.
Oh, that's cool.
So it brings a level of co-op.
Right.
And competitive nature to the game itself.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to that, as I am a 2D nut.
Yes, and actually, the one game that I'm playing, I lost.
Wario. Shake It?
Yes, that, honestly, great game. I recommend that for the Wii. I mean, that is a good game, and the playability's there, and it is kind of like a 2D side action.
Do you want me to explain it? You're okay?
You're okay. I'll let you borrow it. How about that? We'll cool game.
It just sounds like Dance Dance Revolution. With
Wario? Kurt, Shake It? No, yeah.
With shirt in his underwear. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I've seen him do it naked, so it's
okay.
I was keeping this PC. PG, whatever. That would be an edit right there.
I'll do that.
So, New Super Mario Brothers, great announcement. Came out of left field. Nobody really was expecting it. So that's going to come out this Christmas.
Very cool. Early release. So a lot earlier than some of the other games that are coming out. Right. So that's good.
Yeah. They announced Wii Fit Plus, which is their sequel to Wii Fit.
What's different on it?
It's the same.
It's got a much stronger board for those that really need Wii Fit.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, what?
It's got board reinforcements.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Does
it come with its own trailer?
Actually, the Wii Fit board is now a lot softer, so it's a Wii Fit trampoline.
Ah.
No, that was
okay. Well, hey.
it's just more exercises, more balanced board games, things like that. Right. So, you know, that... Bringing a lot of the casual gamer, you know, that's Wii Fit itself with the board. It's a $90 game
because
it comes with the hardware, and that thing is selling nonstop.
They can't
as well.
Keep them in the stores,
right? Another huge announcement: they announced Wii Sports 2, which is going to be called Wii Sports Resort. It takes place on an island. It's a more summery type game. There's going to be a whole bunch of games. I'll go through some really quick. One of them is Disc Dog. That's what they call it. It's essentially frisbee. If you've ever seen, they show them on. Some of the sports channels, the frisbee competitions,
right?
Where
yeah, with
it's,
like border collies that are like just screaming hyper.
Yeah.
What they do is there's a field and there's circles in the field, and the person throws the frisbee, the dog catches it, the dog has to land it within that circle to get the points.
Okay.
That's essentially what that is. So that looks
that's
fun.
Cool.
Power cruising, that's what they called one. I think that's going to be more along the lines of wave racing.
Okay, like wave runners or something.
Wave
like
runners,
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. There's a sword play, which is kind of like American Gladiators with the giant Q-tips, where you got to try to knock each other off.
That'd be kind of cool. And that's multiplayer.
That sounds like it comes in a really big box.
Now, are you going to be able to play these online, like multiplayer online? Because I remember the original Wii Sports, they didn't have any of that.
No, it's not going to be online. Nintendo...
On the technical... I mean, from the technical point of view, the two biggest lacking parts of Wii are the lack of good multiplayer, or native multiplayer internet connectivity. Simple internet connectivity between the systems. And then the second thing is HD.
Yeah.
Although I do know the HD was to try to keep costs down, but it's about time for them to come out with an HD version of Wii.
Well, the system's been it'll be 3 years.
Right.
Yeah, so Nintendo systems are
really
on a 5 year. They're on a 5 year.
Every 5 years to come out with something new. So I'm thinking I don't think their new system is going to be like a new complete overhaul like the Wii was.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be an upgrade to the original Wii.
I think so.
I'm okay with that. But what still drives me nuts is they can't seem to figure out that once you're friends with your system. it's probably okay to make the games work that way too. Yeah. Like, do I really need a friend number for my game and my Wii system?
Everybody hates the friend numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they also announced ping pong. There's a new golf. There's a new bowling.
Now, see, here's the question. Now,
we really need four bowling games for Wii.
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask, is there something that's tremendously different about this bowling game that is different from the rest that they have?
That's what I'm going to get into.
Okay.
When I do this. Another one they call Air Sports, which I think is just going to be skydiving.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that you have to manually open the chute, because I'm going to try my first time not opening the chute and see what
see
happens.
See what happens.
Archery, which looks a lot of fun.
Yes.
I saw the video of archery. That looks great. Cycling, bowling, like I said, canoeing and wakeboarding. Now, you're asking before about bowling. What's going to make this a lot interesting is that Wii Sports Resort, is going to come with Wii Motion Plus, which is an attachment connects to the bottom of your Wii remote, and it basically what it does is it allows for perfect one-to-one movement. So before with bowling, where it's basically speed and your angle that you pre-select, this one, however you hold your hand, it's going to be absolutely perfect. Developers are saying that some of them kind of don't like it, this Wii Motion Plus, because it's too good.
Right.
Next week, they're releasing Tiger Woods 2010, which I'll get to in a minute, and that also comes with Wii Motion Plus. People have been saying, if you're good at golf, this game is perfect. If you suck at golf, you're going to suck at this game. That's how perfect that this little add-on makes the Wii controller.
Well, good, because I'll get ready to suck.
Okay. At golf or at bowling?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, I'm not too bad at bowling, but I really suck at golf.
I've seen him play with most balls. It doesn't work well.
Hey.
So, Nintendo also announced the Wii Vitality Sensor. What it is it's a pulse monitor. You plug it into your finger, and it measures your pulse. hey, wait, you laugh now. Just hold on 1 second. They say it detects your stress level and pulse rate and apparently affects the games accordingly. I don't see Nintendo doing much with this. Nintendo announces hardware add-ons all the time. Sometimes they go with them, sometimes they don't. I don't see them doing much with this. But the potential for this add-on seems to, in my opinion, if they pick and choose the right game to use it for, is going to be phenomenal. For example, let's say you're playing a game like Resident Evil, playing a game like Silent Hill, a game that's designed to scare you. You're playing the game, it measures your pulse, feeds into the game. The game reacts accordingly by either cutting down on the monsters or bringing a whole lot more towards you to scare you even more.
Right. So I could understand that, but I could also understand, now this is going back to me being a Microsoft guy, this is going back to the original Xbox. One of the games that I used to love to play as far as a golf game was the Outlaw Golf games. Mm-hmm. And once you started doing bad, your composure was going bad. And they can use the same thing with this type of controller, that if your stress level is starting to rise, that means you're not doing well, and you could be slicing more or hooking more or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I can already see the conspiracy theorists just going nuts with this one, that the FBI is cracking into your Xbox. Holy jeez.
So that's essentially all their big announcements for Nintendo. They did some hardcore announcements, but we'll save those for hardcore podcasts.
Okay, now do you think that the add-on controller is going to be more geared towards the casual gamer or the hardcore gamer?
The Wii Motion Plus?
Yes. No.
The Wii Vitality Sensor. I can't tell you because they haven't announced any games for it. But seeing the
type of technology that it is, do you think it's going to go towards...
It's Nintendo. They're going to put it towards the casual gamer.
Sure.
Nintendo got burned on the GameCube with the hardcore gamer. Nobody bought the GameCube.
Right.
So they changed their whole business model.
Right.
They're going to go with the casual. They're probably going to announce an exercise game.
Yep.
Where you plug it in.
You run with it.
Right, things like that. Run around your basement, exactly.
Yeah.
So that they're gonna go. They're gonna gear
Pilates or whatever.
Right.
I think a lot of that's up to developers too. I mean, it's what developers decide to run with it and how they sell it to them. Because unless you sell it to them, it's not gonna move. But
I
think it has some interesting aspects on both ends of it, just on the technical side.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So well, Shibby was supposed to do the PlayStation thing, but since
we had technical difficulties,
his smoke machine wasn't working, so he couldn't send us signals.
Right.
Here's what Sony announced. You know, it's an Indian thing. You know,
I know it's smoke signals.
I'm just making sure.
We couldn't see him because we're in the basement.
Yeah. All right. So Sony announced the PSP Go, which is the newest version of their PlayStation Portable. It's a lot smaller. It's got a flip down, flips open so you, for your controllers.
It's more compact. It's easier to fit smaller. In your pocket. The big thing about theirs versus Nintendo's is the size of it.
Yeah.
And now they cut it down. So, I mean, you know.
Well, here's another big thing about this PSP Go is that they're getting rid of physical games
for it.
It's all downloadable games.
And that, I think, as far as, I mean, I'm not that much of a Sony fan, but I can appreciate when they have a great idea. And that is a great idea. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be somewhere where...
What kind of capacity are they looking at having in that thing?
You know what? I'm not exactly positive. I think they're going to create room for SD cards, micro SD cards, so you can upgrade it.
I'm sure they would have to. DSi that has the
It'd be really SD dumb card. To limit the capacity of something that downloads things that people pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
So that's that's a lot of PlayStation Network games. What else did Sony announce? They also announced let me go back to the PSP Go. It's $250 bucks.
Right. That's not too bad.
Not too bad. You know, I would have preferred
it. It's not PlayStation 3 price.
Yeah.
But then again, it's not a DSi price either.
Right. I would have preferred if it was a little bit cheaper, but
yeah.
You know, if they can sell it, then God bless them.
Sure, but I mean, you got to talk feature for feature if you're looking at prices, though. I mean, what is the features of the DSi that just came out, and what is going to be the price of this, this new PSP that's coming out?
So Sony also announced Mod Racer, which essentially is a lot like another Mario Kart clone,
right?
Another racing game. This one is interesting, is that it has a very easy pick up and use racetrack editor. And Sony's opening up an online community where you can upload and download other people's racetracks and race them online.
Now, that's really cool.
Now, that one, I think, that's really going to be a very good game, especially for the casual gamer.
Sure.
And also, like Microsoft, Sony also announced their motion control controller. What this one actually, did you see the pictures of it, what it looks like?
No, I didn't.
It looks like, kind of like a circular Wii controller.
Okay.
But a tennis ball stuck to the top of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So and then it uses the PlayStation's camera to track movement. So it looks like it works out pretty well.
Okay.
But again, they demoed it.
See, that's the thing. I saw the one for the Natal, and I mean, to tell you the truth, being the Xbox guy I am, I think it was ugly. It looked big and clunky. Now, of course, this was just something that they shot out at E3. It might actually slim it down, but I mean, it looked big and clunky, and you look at this thing, it's not like it's a Wii bar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a good size bar.
Uh-huh.
Three sensors in it.
Yeah.
Camera.
So, they showed different things with this, how they were doing sword play, and it looks like it's pretty responsive. So, that, once again, like Project Natal, something I'm going to hold my reservations for until they actually show us games that work with it.
Right.
So those are essentially the big casual E3 announcements. After all, looking at all the games that they announced at E3, the games they showcased, in your opinion, Kurt, which one did you think impressed you the most?
I honestly want to see...
Hardcore or casual?
Oh, as far as what am I impressed with?
What
game? Across the board?
Basically, what I'm asking you is, what is your game of E3? What game did you like the best?
God, for the Xbox, I want to say that it was really... One versus 100. I think that is just really cool. I think that's just something that Xbox came out with, and I think I hope they run with it because I think it's a great concept. Uh-huh. And I think that there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to want to try this.
Yeah. The one I picked is a DS game. Comes out, and I think in September, called Scribblenauts.
I heard about that.
This game sounds absolutely amazing. It's a puzzle game.
Right.
Each level has a star that you have to reach. The graphics are cartoonish. But in order to get this star, you need to be able to figure out how to get it. It's not just sitting there and you grab it. Level 1, for example, is an evergreen tree. On top of the evergreen tree is the star. Well, how do you get it? It's just your guy sitting there. Here's what makes Scribblenauts so fascinating. It has a keyboard at the bottom. You type in anything. And when I say anything, I mean anything.
Oh.
And it'll pop up on the screen.
Really?
So if you want to make it as easy as chopping down the tree, type an axe. Axe will drop down. You have the guy pick up the axe. He'll chop down the tree. If you want to get more MacGyver-like, type in Stegosaurus.
Right.
Stegosaurus will drop in there. You'll sit on the Stegosaurus. Stegosaurus will crash into the tree and knock it down.
That's pretty cool.
it's the possibilities are essentially endless.
Right. And if you want to be, you can be MacGyver type and try to sit there and make something out of the box.
Well, that's what I'll get to in a second, right, to do.
Scissor lift.
There you go. They could drop a scissor lift.
Exactly. Yep.
I mean, or a cherry picker or something like that. You could actually jump in something and go up there. That's really cool.
Here's what one of the impressions were, one of the guys that played it. The guy that was demoing the system had the guy type in ramp, unicycle, glue, and wooden board.
Wow, was he really MacGyver?
No,
it Richard
wasn't
Dean Anderson.
No, he had
really
more important things to do. So the guy, he put the ramp by the tree, put the guy on the unicycle, put the glue on the board, and stuck the board to the guy's head. Rode his unicycle up the ramp, rode it, and the board knocked the star off the tree.
Really, and then it stuck to his head, so he could just take it off and get it.
Right.
Wow, that's really cool.
So to me, that has just the most replay value of anything I've ever heard. It's
definitely.
Yeah, like how many hundreds of ways can you find to bring this tree down in level one?
Yeah,
right. Well, I mean, right, exactly. I mean, you could sit there, even if you go through the whole game and win the whole game, you can always jump back and start over again and try something different.
That's another thing, too, is that it won't let you redo the same thing twice.
It definitely lends itself to the most famous of statements. Watch this. Hold my beer.
Right, exactly. But now you can do it on a video game.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's cool. So, I mean, obviously, Shibby's not here, so we don't know about his favorite game for PS3. But, I mean, what would you say is a good game for PS3?
I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing. Nothing against PS3, but I really didn't take much attention to PS3.
Well, here's the thing: is that Sony, they showcase a lot of their hardcore stuff.
Right.
I think if they're anything casual related, it was that racing game.
Right.
You create your own tracks. I'm a big fan of
that. Is cool. I mean, I would. Content. I didn't pay too much attention to the Sony stuff because I don't have a. I mean, my highest PlayStation that I got is a PS2, so I don't even have a PS3 or PSP.
Yeah.
I kind of scrapped the idea and got the other two systems. Yeah. I agree with you, though, that as far as the racing game, that's definitely something that's really cool.
So, all right, so that's basically our E3 coverage. So there was a lot of news, a lot of things. Most of it was hardcore. We got to the best of casual stuff we could. So we'll go on to some other news that popped up during the week. One such information is that came out that the average age of a gamer is 35 years old.
35.
Which is actually older than me.
Right. And I mean,
yeah, we were actually talking about that. I'm 31 at the moment, born in 77. That was right around the time Atari had come out. So those that were 3 to 4 years older than myself were 5 and 6 years old at that time. It was, and that makes a lot of sense. This is a generation that those of that age group, video games have been part of our life, our entire life.
Right, exactly. And the thing is that when I saw the survey and I read about it online before I posted it to our website, if you go to www.keepcasual.com, all this information is there, by the way. When I actually looked at the survey and read about it, I kind of stood back and went, what? Really? Because there's so many kids out there that are buying these games and buying these systems. I thought the average gamer would be probably around the age of like 13, 14 as a teenager or, an early teen, because they're the ones who are buying these. I mean, trust me, every time I put on a hardcore game, because I don't only do casual games, but I prefer them. Every time I put on a hardcore game and I'm doing multiplayer, I get my ass. Sorry, that's not PG-13.
No, you can say ass. I got this network, you can.
Right. I got my ass kicked every single time. I mean, I will respawn, bam, gone, just poof. And I'm like, what the hell just happened here? And it's these kids that just throw on it constantly.
Yeah.
Are you sure they're kids?
Are you sure they're not 35 years old?
They could be 35-year-olds now that I read the survey. They could be, And that's something that kind of took me back. Like, what? Really? Is it 35? But you make perfect sense, Brooks. We grew up with consoles all our life.
Uh-huh. They've always existed.
Right.
Yeah.
Although at that age, you've also seen the absolute inception through current.
Right. Exactly.
You talk to some of these kids nowadays, I'm standing in line in my local retailer, and you look at a kid, it's like, what was the first game system you remember? And they're like, GameCube? And I'm like, oh boy.
Right, well, that's like
what's
the one time.
What's television?
Yeah.
Why you little?
Well, that's like when we were sitting there taking our games into that one shop. When we took our stuff there was a kid that sit there looked at the stuff that I had, because I brought three, like, huge Rubbermaid. No, actually, it was four, wasn't it?
They were very, very heavy.
Yeah, very heavy Rubbermaid tubs that had systems in it. I'm talking, I had...
Two Nintendos.
I had a TurboGrafx 16 in there. I had a Sega Saturn. I had a 3DO, which...
I know what you're talking about.
Right, and the kid looked at that, and he's like, what is that? I'm like, well, that's a 3DO. And he's like, well, what's a 3DO?
And you put them through the window, right?
I tried to.
You know what, though? It's even though they didn't know what it is, it's interesting to watch their curiosity go, oh, wow. Oh. Some of them are actually really interested in
well, the kid wanted to buy my original PlayStation off me.
So the guy, Michael Gallagher from the Entertainment Software Association, when they put out this press release, here's what he quoted as saying. This is the new golden age of entertainment software. Our products are now being enjoyed by over two-thirds of Americans. As the findings of the 2009 Essential Facts illustrate, more and more Americans across all demographics are now embracing the interactive entertainment experience that computer and video games provide. Hey, Kurt, why don't you tell us some of the other findings that the survey found?
Sure. 42% of American homes have a video game system. That's... almost half. I mean, that's
great mathematics. You know, that's almost half.
But you got to take into consideration how many homes are elderly people and stuff. I mean, so that is pretty significant. I mean, that is a lot. Also, adult gamers have been playing for 12 years on average, a decrease from 2008, indication that more Americans are picking up video game controllers for the first time.
I've been playing more than 12 years.
I've been playing for more than 12 years.
I played enough to cover about 4 or 5 people playing for 12 years.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're that old. The average game player, of course, is 35 years old. We know that already. 77% of parents believe that the parental controls available in all recent video games consoles are useful. What's your take on that? I mean, I haven't messed around with parental controls.
I don't need to. Not yet, anyway.
Right. My kids are 3 and 1. I don't have to yet, but
yeah.
What's your take on that? Do you think?
Well, my parents always didn't want me playing any of the more violent games, but the thing is, when the games really started getting violent, like Mortal Kombat, I was already like 12, 13 years old.
And you could walk into a game.
At that point, my parents could care less.
Right. Plus, on top of that, you could always walk into a game store and buy these games.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing is a lot of parents. A lot of parents use their video game systems as babysitters, and they could care less what their kid watches. Now, when my son gets older, I know I'm going to put on the parental controls on my system. I don't want him playing games where you're dismembering people, at least not until he's old enough to understand that it's just a game.
Right, exactly.
And that it doesn't mess with his head or anything.
Right.
So, I think parental controls are always a good choice, because you know why? You don't have to use them.
Right.
If you don't like them, don't use them.
Right. I mean, I've never touched them on my systems, ever. You know, and every time I download something, it says that I can use it, but I never do. So.
I don't know. Not having children, and with the firm credo, everything I call baby has got pistons. I at least appreciate the fact that they keep them away from me when I don't want them. I mean, go find them if you want them, but just leave them out of it unless you turn them on.
That's true.
And I find it a little annoying, even as much as they do it already.
Right.
You know, if you're a parent, you need to educate yourself on how to be a parent. And therefore, you need to go find parental controls. They don't need to go find you.
Right. But out of 77%. Okay, so there's 77%, right? So how many times do these people buy gaming systems not even know that they're on there?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stupid people in the world. But,
exactly.
But you can't, I'm a firm believer, and you can't protect all the stupid
people from themselves. So is it 77% of people that know that the system has parental controls like it? Or is it 77% of everybody who owns a console that's a parent?
That would have to be. You have to go back to the author.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Give Mr. Gallagher a call. We'll wait.
Okay, we'll do that. Almost half of the games sold, 45%, are rated E for everyone. Entertainment Center, or ESRB, basically. That's pretty cool. That's
I guess, towards a casual gamer.
How much of that is the pressure because they won't sell games that have a bad rating? And how much of that is they want to? Curious.
They've never sold any adult-only games, which is the worst rating. AO, adults-only. No Best Buy or any brick-and-mortar stores will sell adults-only games.
You can't get them.
Right. But the ones that are... Let's see. The ones that are rated mature, those are the ones that I think get the most press, whether it be positive or negative.
Right.
And I find that interesting because, like, the small handful of games that are for mature audiences get more coverage than the large majority of games that are rated for everybody.
Right.
So, no, there's no bad press? Is that kind of the credo?
For E-rated games?
No, for any of the ratings. Like, you know, if it's a bad rating, then everybody hears about it, so then everybody looks into it, so you sell a lot of them. If it's not a bad rating, then...
Well, Grand Theft Auto has always gotten a lot of bad press.
Oh, yeah.
That's just...
From day one.
That sells the heck out of it, because everybody wants something that's supposed to be bad.
Right.
Yeah. It's an interesting debate.
Right.
I guess it's more pragmatic than it needs to be.
And one thing that I thought was a fascinating fact.
And a sexy fact.
Yes, very sexy. Is 43% of online gamers are female.
We could attest
to
that.
So that people, or that, you know, person that was fragging me every time I tried to play a hardcore game, that could be some chick sitting behind a console. I just find that a fascinating percentage. Oh. I would think that there would be more online gamers being male.
Well, I got one word that'll make you agree with that is Uno.
That's true.
How many times have we played Uno?
And it's all chicks.
And it's all the ladies.
The ladies. Which is a phenomenal casual game for Xbox Live.
Yeah. It's only $5. Pick it up if you haven't yet. Exactly. Only if you play online, because that game's no fun unless you play online.
Yeah, true. I mean, you really can't do multiplayer sitting there looking at your TV.
Yeah. Okay, so the next piece of news. Lego Harry Potter was announced.
Yes.
The first four books are going to be included in one game. So, if you like those Lego games, I played a couple of them. I played the Star Wars Lego game, the Indiana Jones one. What's the other one? Batman. So, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, especially if you can play two or three players all together at the same time.
Right.
The Lego action games themselves are catered directly to the hardcore because they're easy to pick up, they're easy to play, they're not frustrating.
Right.
And it's a game that anybody can pick up and play. So I think this one's going to be actually quite interesting when it does come out. It's not going to release until 2010, so that's we're going to have to wait a while.
A little while, but I mean, it's 2009, so the wait isn't going to be that long. On the whole Lego thing, Lego Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this is another one of those things that kind of kicks into the Lego and the Rock Band, you know, family.
Well, I'll tell you why they did Lego Rock Band. Harmonix. I think it's Harmonix, made Rock Band.
Right.
And Harmonix is a music company first and a video game company second. That's
right.
How they look at themselves.
Right.
They put Rock Band as the music that they love.
Right.
The type of music that they love. That's the kind of songs that go in there. Lego Rock Band is probably made due to pressure to put more family-friendly songs on there.
Yes.
So you'll be getting... It's kind of like Radio Disney for your video games.
And that's what it is. I mean, it basically... The press release basically said that it is going to be for younger audiences and for families, which is cool because, you know what?
So it's like Muppets to Rock Band.
Yeah, hey, but I mean...
Muppet Rock Band would be the greatest game of all time.
That would. I think we've got an idea.
I would pick the Swedish Chef every single time. Get Animal on the drums.
Right.
Wow, Animal can't do anything with the drums.
So as far as Lego Rock Band, geared towards a family, I mean, that's casual gaming. At least I don't have to listen to iCarly and Miley Cyrus on my regular Rock Band.
You just listen to them on your iPod.
Right.
That's cool. There's something we didn't have in our little script here, but I wanted to bring it up. Is that the director of... There's a game coming out for the Wii called Silent Hill.
Right.
And essentially, this one looks like it's going to be pretty interesting because you don't fight the monsters in it. It's a survival horror game, like Resident Evil.
Okay.
You don't fight the monsters in it. Your job is to run away from these monsters.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're trying to make it as easy as possible. But the guy who was making the game said that he wanted it so that it can that your mom can pick up the game and play it.
Right.
Which, I mean, you know, as a casual gamer to me, I would love to have my mom watch my mom play a survival horror game because it'd be funny as all hell to watch. I just don't think it's something like that because I think that crosses the line too far into the hardcore realm, in my opinion. I don't think that they'd be able to put that as a casual gamer because of the content. It's a mature game. It's very disturbing imagery.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So see how well that does.
True. Yeah.
So
I guess that's the great equalizer of the marketplace is that, I mean, there are some games that we never thought would go, like Guitar Hero. Like, when I first saw that, I'm like, are you kidding me?
It's right, and then, and now they're coming out with the DJ Hero also. I mean, you know, yeah. Eminem and Jay-Z are supposed to be on it, and it's supposed to be, you know, the big name.
I mean,
you got a couple turntables with some buttons on it. I mean, I've seen pictures on the internet that are homebrew pictures of the actual controller, but I would be kind of curious to see what it's going to look like, you know? Yeah.
But, like I said, yeah, there's been a few times where I've been surprised, even by myself, of actually liking what I thought was just crazy. So, we'll see. Time will tell, and the market will tell. To me, that's the great equalizer. Always has been.
So that's what we got for news right now. The only thing we can go and the other thing we got now is just the weekly releases, games that are coming out this week. Kurt, you want to go through with that?
Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2010 with or without the Motion Plus, which is actually kind of nice if you want to just go ahead and drop the cost and you're used to your regular controller.
And what system are we doing now?
We're doing the Nintendo Wii.
Okay.
My Sims Racing, Grand Slam Tennis, Go Play Circus Star, Vertigo, Virtual Tennis 2009. Go Play Lumberjacks, and Pool Hall Pro. Those are for the Nintendo Wii.
That Vertigo, I think, is kind of like a Marble Madness type game.
That would be kind of cool. I haven't played that in years.
You could use the Wii Balance Board for it.
Oh, that'd be kind of interesting.
And we are going next week, right?
Yes.
To pick up Tiger Woods.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And that is coming out.
I'm very looking forward. We'll have a review of that. We'll actually try to get a video review up, too.
Yes.
See if we can do that. We'll hook up the Wii to your computer.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
And we'll swing the controller at each other.
Sure.
I'll beat you with the controller, and we can see if it translates on screen.
Hey, that'd be pretty cool.
With the guy beating his club.
With the 9-iron?
Exactly. Like that?
That'd be great.
Family show, beating his club.
Okay, you can go ahead and continue, Kurt.
Okay, for the Nintendo DS, we have My Sims Racing, Pet Fashion, Dogs and Cats.
Yes.
I know you're really excited about that. You want to dress up your dog and your cat, right?
Sure,
why not? Lego Battles, a Guitar Hero on Tour Modern Hits. Which I've played the Guitar Hero for the DS, and man, I'm telling you,
carpal tunnel and a finger cramp.
Yeah. I mean, but I see other people doing it, and they're doing great at it. You get 5 minutes into it, and you're just like, okay, I'm done. I'm done for the day. You know, I mean, I sometimes get carpal tunnel from the regular Guitar Hero and you know, Rock Band. Also for Nintendo DS is Diva Girls, Divas on Ice.
Make sure you get in line for that one.
Yeah, that's the one that Mike's going to be in line for.
Yes.
For the Xbox 360, we got Tiger Woods, PGA Tour 2010 again, Virtual Tennis 2009. For the PlayStation 3, we've got Tiger Woods, PGA Tour 2010, Virtual Tennis 2009. For the PSP, again, Tiger Woods, PGA Tour 2010, and Rock Band Unplugged. Now, the Rock Band Unplugged, now they're not really doing that just for the PSP, are they?
It's a whole lot quieter.
I mean, are they?
It's not
just
plugged in, so it doesn't work.
Right, exactly.
It's just a blank screen. No, what that is, it's actually they're not having any peripherals or anything.
Right.
What it essentially is you have to control all four members of your band, and you press like the trigger buttons, and it switches to which person.
Okay.
So what you have to do is match the button presses at the right time on each one to keep everybody up at. To keep their levels up so they don't fail out of the game.
Gotcha.
So it looks interesting.
Okay. Well, that's about it as far as the new releases. I mean, it looks like all across the board is Tiger Woods, except for the Nintendo DS. It's the only thing that is not coming out.
Well, there's a Tiger Woods 08 game that came out, and actually my brother got that. And he said he liked it a lot, but apparently it's not selling well enough for them to think a sequel is necessary.
Sure.
So, which is a shame, because that one golf game that we have for the DS is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah, True Swing Golf. I mean, it is. I mean, the playability is there. The graphics are pretty decent for a DS. I mean, you're not going to have, you know, great graphics.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that's essentially all we got for now. It's our first podcast, so we don't have any questions. Right now, it's just a work in progress. We're going to see what else we can come up with, any other segments. Maybe if we have enough people listening, we'll get people calling in, things like that. So.
Exactly. Any questions or comments or anything like that, please email us at keepcasual@keepcasual.com. Also, if you want to check out our websites, we do try to do daily postings of different news and happenings that are going on with all three councils.
Once again, it's brand new, so we're still getting the hang of it.
It's still slow, and as far as any kind of additional segments that you want to leave, you could also email us.
Any suggestions that you think would help the podcast?
Right, and
like
we've got PezGuyMike@keepcasual.com, and we've got KurtWendt@keepcasual.com.
And how is that spelled?
KURTWENDT at keepcasual.com. So please join us, you know, next week for our weekly podcast, and see us online at www.keepcasual.com.